1 Corinthians 15. Are we ever going to get out of 1 Corinthians 15? Maybe. Depends on when the Lord comes. Amen?
Amen.
Depends on when the Lord comes. First Corinthians 15. Morning, Sparky. How you doing? I got to see that baby. She brought a DVD over last night. And of an ultrasound. One of those 3D ones. And I remember telling Lisa when we went to Lisa's first ultrasound with Lindsay. I'm looking at that and I'm going, I don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is. But even back then, they were able to see, they were able to contrast the blood that was going to it. You could see red and blue in there. I don't know how they did it, but I told Lisa, I said, man, by the time our girls are big, they'll be able to see the faces of these children. They can. So I'm sitting there looking at they called me in last night. I was trying to study. They called me in. I went and looked at that. They put that video in. I started looking at that, and I just walked away. Grandpa went back and had a little cry with the Lord. I love these grandbabies. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. That's you. And how you look right now is bare grain. That's all your bodily functions. That's everything there is about you, the good and the bad. It's just bare grain. So that's going to go in the ground one of these days. Amen? But what comes up out is not going to look like what went in. And so anyway, he says, verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now, if you want to underline something in your Bible, underline every seed his own body. I'm not going to talk about that today, but I am going to talk about it. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Now, let me just throw this in. I talked about this yesterday down in Arkansas. Trying to make Arkansas people understand some things. Can be a little rough. Amen, Jimmy. Amen. Yeah. But I think they got it. Because a lot of these people know what seeds are, and they know that that somebody's been messing with the seeds. They know that. And one of the things I shared was that they have the ability. Now, isn't it interesting that God told the Israelites in the law to not wear a linen and a woolen coat together? Isn't that interesting? God told them. God told them the same place he told them, men don't wear the attire of a woman. Women don't wear the attire of a man. And to me, it's pretty obvious. When you see some of these women that are desperately trying to look like men, you can tell. You can tell. Likewise with some of these men. You can tell. But anyway, in that same place, God said, don't wear a linen and a woolen coat together. A covering. Why? Linen is from vegetable matter, it's from cotton, and woolen is from animals. And God said, don't blend them together. So guess what they're doing in the laboratories right now? They're blending animal and vegetable together. Not kidding you. They're taking corn and adding animal DNA to it. Certain parts of it. And that's supposed to be better for us. supposed to be better for us. I could preach that this morning. In fact, I thought about it. I preached "Don't Sell Your Vineyard" yesterday. And God told the Israelites, do not sow your field or your vineyard with mingled seed. Don't do it. He said, it's an abomination. Don't do that. So what are they doing? They're mingling the seed with things that don't belong in there. And note, that's what made me think of this is, in verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. They're supposed to be of a different flesh, but now we have the ability to make them the same. That's scary. Amen. That is very scary. Amen. There are also celestial bodies. Underline that in your Bible. God is not a floating ball of gas in heaven. He has a form. Ezekiel saw part of that form. John saw it. Moses saw the back of it. But he has a form. Angels have a form. They have a body. That's what celestial bodies are. And if you go back up to verse 38, to every seed, his own body. The rule is, if it has a body, it has seed. Okay? So we'll touch on that later on. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, I don't know what made me think of it, but I had some thoughts, and I put them down on paper while we were gone this weekend. In fact, while I was listening to some messages, and we were trying to run cameras and keep the internet going and everything like that, I thought, man, I need to study for Sunday school. And I was putting some ideas together, and when I got home last night, I couldn't find the paper that I had put them on one of my, it was either a tablet or something like that, and I couldn't find the document. I couldn't find it nowhere. And I'm sitting there, Jared, going, what did I have for Sunday school? Couldn't think of it. And finally it came to me, but I couldn't find my notes. And I don't know what made me think of this, but I want us to look at the body of a seed. Okay, we're going to look at the body in one thing in particular, in a sort of an idea from the Bible. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to look at trees this morning. We got down. It's real funny because if you're going down Highway 44, all of the trees look pretty much the same as they do here. And for some reason, when you get to Springfield and from Springfield down, they change just like that. They're all the leaves are just almost fully out down there. I noticed that going down there, and then I was paying attention to it coming back, and I'm going, yeah, look, we just got on 44 at Springfield, and I could tell there was a difference in the trees. Okay, it's just, like there's a line there, and all the trees south of Springfield decided to bloom out earlier. And maybe that was what was in my mind, I don't know, but let's look at trees in the Bible. And I think it's because it's related to seed. Trees have seed, don't they? Trees put forth seed. Sometimes we call them acorns. Sometimes they're hazelnuts. Sometimes they're different nuts, but that's the fruit of that tree. Sometimes it's apples, oranges, pears. I like pears. I really like pears. Bananas. Bananas even have seeds. We just don't see them very well, but they're in there, and so on and so on. But every kind of tree has a seed to it. So let's look at how God sees this thing. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He says there's a blessing here. When God blesses something, it produces fruit. Think of a tree that Jesus went to for fruit, and it didn't have any fruit. Okay? So we're going to look at that in a minute. So when God blesses something, it brings forth fruit. Would you like God's blessings on your life? God speaks blessings. He doesn't just wave a magic wand. He doesn't give you fairy dust or pixie dust. He speaks blessings to you. When God says, this is blessed, it's blessed. So blessed is that man. And he said, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That is asking an awful lot from us, isn't it? To do nothing but meditate on the word of the Lord and the law of the Lord. We don't do that. Let's just be honest. We do not do that. Who do we know that does? Jesus Christ. He's the man that was blessed. So if we're going to have any blessings, we've got two choices. We could either obey the law, or we could abide in Christ. One of the two. So when we discover that we cannot obey the law, we cannot abide by the law, we break the law, then the only other remedy that we have is to abide in Christ and have His words abide in us. So His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Verse 3, He shall be like a tree. Look at there. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, Pastor Alo, you had mentioned when you first came to America, you saw all the trees didn't have any leaves on them. Remember that? He was talking about that. And I had taught that out in Rongo. I preached on the cycles of Christian growth when we were out in Rongo that morning. And I told him, I said, we have seasons in America where the leaves all fall off the trees in autumn. We call it fall because of the leaves falling. And in the wintertime, they just lay dormant. They don't do anything. They're just bare and ugly and so on. But at springtime, the leaves are start growing back on. So you're in an opportunity to see the bare trees, and then right before your eyes, these leaves are springing forth and they're coming out. And also these flowers, on the way down and on the way back, did you look down in the woods and see all those white flowered trees down in there? Those are probably dogwoods, okay? And they're usually the first and the brightest bloom out in the woods. That'd be the first thing that happens in the woods in the springtime this time of year, is that those dogwoods will come out in full bloom. And they are beautiful. Amen. They are absolutely beautiful. And so, but anyway, fruit doesn't just happen every day, does it? We have seasons. Now, well, here's what I want to ask you, Pastor. In Kenya, on the equator, do you have seasons where trees or plants will produce fruit and then seasons where they don't? Not really. Wow. So you can grow just about any time of the year? Wow. That's interesting. Well, here, we have seasons. You cannot pick apples from an apple tree in January in the state of Missouri. It's not that it's illegal, it's just that it's dumb. There's no apples there. If they see you out there going, they will arrest you, put you in a psychology hospital. We have seasons. And in these, and that's what he's getting at. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. And I believe in seasons. And I believe that God deals with us in seasons. When we cut down a tree and we see those rings in that tree, what do those rings represent? Age. Every time you cut a tree down and you see that ring there, there's been a cycle. There's been a season. A year has gone by. A lot of times you can tell when it was dry that year because the rings are small. A lot of times you can tell when it was wet that year, the rings are bigger. There was more water coming in, more life to the tree. Sometimes you can even find when a fire went through. There'll still be their charred remains in that tree. So you can tell these things when we cut these trees down. And these trees, when they start out, it's just like a new Christian. They start out and they're wanting to reach up toward heaven. They're gravitating to the light. Amen? Isn't it amazing that you don't have to lay a seed in the ground a certain way in order for it to know which way is up? Amen? However that seed lands in there, when that seed gets ready to shoot out, it always shoots toward the sunlight, doesn't it? Okay? Always. And then it immediately starts looking for water. Starts reaching out for water. But these things, when these things are young, any number of things can happen to them. Wind can blow them down. Deers can knock them over, rubbing their antlers against them, kill them. Boys going through woods, cutting them down, making spears out of them. Amen? You ever done that? That's a lot of fun, wasn't it? Okay? And any number of things can happen. But the older that tree gets, the more it's able to survive. Because the roots are down farther, the trunk is bigger and stronger, and you just can't push that thing down anymore. Amen? And every bit of that has to do with seasons. Every bit of it. I don't expect this church, or let's say you as an individual, to bring forth the fruit that the Holy Spirit gives us every day of your life. Because sometimes it's just not there. Can I get an amen out of you? Sometimes it's just not there, and you know it. Sometimes in your life, it'll be wintertime. And there'll be a lot of cold things in your life. There'll be a lot of things that are just, they're still there, but they're dormant. It's hard to tell when we're in the middle of January, you walk through the woods, it's hard to tell the dead trees from the live ones, isn't it? They all look dead, don't they? We don't want to cut a dead or live tree down. So what do? Just wait for spring. The springtime comes around, then we can tell. And to be honest, just while we're talking about it, guys, I think we have a problem with this tree right out here in the front. If you today take a look at it, I think it's just about run its course out here. All right, it's looking pretty. I mean, I was looking at it the other day, and I'm going, okay, leaves, come on out, okay? And maybe we ought to think about that. But every tree goes in a cycle. And every cycle it goes through, it becomes a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser, a little bit enduring. The roots get deeper. So in times of drought, when other trees are not doing well, you've found where the real water is, and you're going to be fine. That's what this tree is. This tree has been planted by rivers of water. You know what that is? They've just settled on the Word of God, and they're going to stay there no matter what. Amen? That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How would you like to get to a place in life where what you did was good for something? God's designed us for that. God has designed us to desire to have our work, our labor, the things, whether it's in employment or at home or in a hobby or in a game, God has designed us to want to prosper in some way. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Don't let the charismatics and the word faith people and the prosperity gospel preachers make you afraid to believe that, but then don't go the opposite way and say, well, it's all about prospering and profiting. Because not every day are we going to bear fruit. Amen? And so over the years, I've learned to not give up on myself so easily. Because I'm the hardest on myself. And then I see it in other people and I try to encourage them. Don't give up yet. Have faith in God. Trust Him. God is going to do some good things in you, but it's not season yet. But it will be in due season. It will be. And that's what God promises. He promises that that fruit is going to come forth, but it will come forth in that particular season. That's when it'll do it. So trust in God, all right? And God loves fruitful trees, doesn't He? God loves fruitful trees. We talked about that yesterday down in Arkansas. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And He talked about that. And He said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. God is glorified when His people, when God is the husbandman of a garden. And he's like anybody else who has a garden. If we have a garden and we have a nice one, if somebody comes over to our house, what do we do? Show them the garden. There's nothing wrong with that. Look what I did here. That's just part of it. And here it is. God in heaven is glorified by his vineyard bearing lots and lots and lots of very ripe grapes. God says, this is a blessing. This is going to bless a lot of people. Now turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm a little slow today. A little tired. I sat up trying to study last night, and I finally said, God, I can't go no more. I'm wore out. I'm going to bed. Bless what little I do today. So I ask God to bless it. Amen. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets. Somebody say amen to that. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're very hungry, and they're going to destroy. They look like sheep on the outside. So how can we tell? How can we tell? We can't. But he said beware. Okay? And I guess if you thought about it, and let's say that you had a flock of about 100 or so sheep or 200, and you look out there and all you see is white wool everywhere, well, then it looks like you've got nothing but sheep. But he's telling you, more than likely, there may be one of those out there that you're seeing that's not really a sheep. It's a wolf. Watch it when it starts getting too close to some of the other sheep, especially the weak ones, because wolves love weak animals. That's who they go after. They look for the weak ones, look for the little ones. And said, watch those things. There be wolves. They're inwardly, they're ravening wolves. He said, now verse 16, how are we going to know them? Read that to yourself and ask yourself, how can we know wolves in sheep's clothing? By their fruits. You know them by their fruits. Let's do this real quick so we're all on the same page, speaking the same thing. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'll get there. Tired today. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, here it is right here. Here's Jesus telling us, this is how you're going to know him. Love. Do they have a self-denying love? Loving is giving without expectation of receipt. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So, if there's something going on and you see somebody and you see that it looks like they're out to get their own and nothing else, that's not the fruit of the Spirit, is it? Fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Do they have inward joy? Do they need a pep rally in church to give them a joy? No. Peace. Do they have an inward peace? Do they have peace with God and peace with other people? Are they builders of peace? Are they peacemakers? Or are they always contentious? Every time they're around, there's a contention. There's a fight going on. Every time they're around, every time they show up on the scene, there's always some quarrel or something like that. That's fruit. Long-suffering. Do they fly off the handle with everything? Lose it? Every time something happens, I don't like that! Boom! Fly off the handle. Where's the fruit? Where's the long-suffering? Where's the ability to tolerate and put up with things that normally in the flesh we wouldn't tolerate or put up with? Where is that? He's telling you, Jesus is telling you, by their fruit you shall know them. You'll know those people in your family. You'll know those people at your workplace. You'll know those people in your country. Amen. You know those people in your church. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of the Spirit? Long-suffering. Gentleness. Guys go around punching walls all the time, kicking stuff around, throwing stuff all the time. That's not gentle. Amen. That's not a gentle spirit. I like the word gentleman. That's a good word, isn't it? Amen. That means a gentle man. He's not looking for a fist fight. He doesn't go around yelling, hollering, screaming at everybody all the time, throwing stuff, kicking stuff, cursing. He's gentle. Now, that may be who you were before you got saved. But when you get saved and you're really born again, you've got a different spirit in you. And if that's an issue with you, men, get it under the blood. It's the only help for you. Amen? Goodness. Well, he's a good guy. He is really a good guy. Do you trust him? Yeah, you know what I do. I trust him. Or, I tell you what, you trust that guy? There's no way in the world I trust that guy. He's not good. That's how you know him. He said you're going to know him by fruit. That's how you're going to know him. And maybe some of us are sitting here going, gulp. Maybe I need some fruit work done in me. Goodness, faith. Do they believe the Bible? Do they trust God? Do they believe the Bible is in the Word of God? And do they abide by it and live by it? Govern their passions and their character by it? Do they have faith? Are they meek? Meek is not weak. Meek, it actually takes more strength to be meek than it does to kick a hole in the wall. Amen? Ask me how I know about kicking a hole in the wall. I did it when I was, when I was in college, man, I was high strung. I was. And one of them guys made me mad, Wayne. And I walked in the door of that dormitory and I just flung my foot right. That was my first encounter with drywall ever. I didn't know what that white stuff was on. I don't know what that is. And my first encounter, I thought that it ought to hold. And my foot went right through that drywall. And I went, oh, I thought that would put up with me, but it didn't. So you know what? End of the year, I had to lay $50 down to the dormitory supervisor for payment for fixing the hole. Amen? Then I went to work in drywall and I went, oh, that's what that is. That's why it wouldn't hold. No, okay, I get it. Amen? Meekness. Do you display an attitude of meekness? Okay? Are you out trying to get your way all the time? Are you out trying to bully everybody around, men and women? Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to get your way through life by pushing everybody aside? Get out of my way. Is that who you are? Because if you are, you need some blood on you. You need a different spirit on you. That's what you need. Meekness means that you know when to keep your mouth shut. And when you do open your mouth, it's wisdom that comes out. Amen. And not cursing. Amen? Hard to do. I know it. I'm not sitting up here looking down on everybody here. I am not. But I'll tell you something. Just trying it to me says that you're wanting to have a good spirit about you. Just trying it. But when we see people that don't care. Let's talk about meekness for a minute, all right? Let's give you examples of what meekness is. Abraham, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And it means exactly what it says. And I'm going to show you, there's always a Bible picture of it. And the Bible says in Genesis 13 that the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot strove together. They were fighting over water wells and grasslands. That's our well. No, no, no. We claimed it first. No, no, no. Abraham, our boss, said we could have it. Well, Lot was here first. Abraham gave it to Lot. And they began to fight. And Abraham pulled Lot aside. He said, Lot, come here. This ain't good. It's not good. Now, let me tell you who Lot was to Abraham. You know who Lot was to Abraham? It's his nephew. Lot's daddy died, and Abraham took Lot in to raise him as his own son. And so he takes over Lot's inheritance from his brother, and he's running the show. He gives Lot cattle. He gives Lot servants, gives him pasture land and waters, and says, make something of yourself, boy. And Abraham could have, when he called Lot in, and said, look, Lot, how dare you do what you're doing out there? You wouldn't have cattle, but for me. You wouldn't have servants, but for me. You wouldn't have water, but for me, and grasslands. You wouldn't have any of that stuff except for me. So how about you knock it off? Or you go somewhere else. That's what he could have done. That's not what he did. He said, Lot, whichever way you choose. He said, we need to separate. It's time. I don't mean you any harm. But we kind of need to part. So Lot, you take your herds, your herdsmen. And he said, I'm going to give you dibs. You get first pick. If you go this way, me and my fellows are going to go this way. If you go south, I'm going north. Whatever you get first pick, that's meekness. Amen. So Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. At the time, Sodom was probably one of the best grasslands in the world. They were well-watered. And that's what Lot chose. He chose the markets of Sodom because he could make money selling his cattle. And he chose the plains, and that's what he took. So then God took Abraham right after that. And he said, now Abraham, look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. And all that your eyes set upon, I'm going to give you that land as an everlasting inheritance. And the people of Abraham are still on that land to this very day. What happened to Lot's fields? He lost everything he had when God destroyed Sodom. He lost it all. And his daughters, to ensure that there were sons born to Lot for an inheritance, they slept with their own dad. That's where Ammon and Moab came from. The Ammonites and the Moabites. And the Ammonites and the Moabites were consistently the enemies of the seed of Abraham. Because Lot chose meekness. Amen? Meekness, temperance, against such there's no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you're looking for. Not how many souls they won. Not how much money they put in the plate. Not how many boards they sit on. Not how many pews have got their family name etched onto the side. Not about the building that the church built with their such and such memorial building. That's not fruit of the Spirit. That has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with your Sunday school pen, your church attendance. Has nothing to do with it. Has everything to do with God bearing. And you're looking at this list going, that ain't me. That ain't me. Oh, that definitely is not me. You're looking at that and you're going, that ain't me. You're right, it's not you. That's why it must be of the Holy Spirit. Because if it's not the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, I don't have the ability to produce it out of nothing. I don't. And neither do you. So if it's not there, if these things are not present in a person's life, it does make other people wonder, are you really born again? Now you can be mad at them and say, well, you're judging me. You can be mad at them all you want to. Or you can say, God, maybe they see something in me that I don't see. God, am I right with you? That's all you got to do. God will judge between who's right and who's wrong. Do you believe that? All righty, live it. Amen. Heavenly